precious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these testimonies of what you're doing. We just love you and thank you, God, for the miracles in our lives every day. And Father, we pray for Gage Calder, who fell out of this truck. We thank you for the progress that he's made. And Father, we pray for continued recovery, complete recovery in Jesus' name, that they would know that his recovery is because of you, because he's been touched by the hand of God, and that you will get the glory for this, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. Father, we pray for Chris Carnahan and his wife, Denise, and the anniversary that's coming up of their young son passing with cancer. Father, that's just something that parents never get over. And so I pray that you would minister peace and strength to them through this time, that their memories would bring them joy and bring them peace. We lift up Chris to you, who has this tumor that can't be surgically removed. But God, we know you are the great healer and that you can remove it with the touch of your hand. And Father, I pray for a miracle of healing in his life from head to toe, that when he goes back to the doctor for a game plan, that tumor will be gone, that he will be healed, that he will be whole, and that he will know that he's been touched by the hand of God, and so will everyone else, because you are in the business of doing miracles when we think it's hopeless. Father, we give it to you. We turn to you with all our needs. And we thank you, Father, for providing and for healing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And one of our listeners, Miss Lisa Sorry. Taylor. Hi, Lisa. We love you. Ask us to pray for her grandma. Okay. She's 94 and having some health difficulties, a collapsed uterus. And then continue to pray for Lisa's daughter, Ella.
Okay. And Father, we lift up Lisa to you, her grandma. We pray that you would touch this grandma. She's 94 years old, but your word doesn't say that you will heal people until they're 70. It says that you heal. So we lift her up and ask for you to heal her body and make her body whole with no pain, no symptoms. Refresh her and make her better than ever in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, that Lisa and her grandma and all the family members would know that she's been touched by the hand of God. And Father, we continue to pray for Ella also, for what's going on in that situation. Father, we thank you for working, and we pray for miracles there. And Father, we also lift up the Johnson family, who lost two members of their family on a Sunday night to a car accident. Father, we lift up those six children and these family members and this whole community that are grieving, and we just ask that you bring them peace in the midst of their heartbreak and comfort. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Prophetic Voice Ministry is located at 616 North Locust Avenue in Elk City. Apostle Casey Elliott. The Refuge Church is now at New Liberty Church at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sarah, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right
and
back.
And Joshua's Crossing Ministries, located right here at the Promise Center in Elk City. And Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. Stay tuned, y'all. We'll be right back.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for two estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy, and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing, and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford, Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines establish the boundaries of your life. They don't determine where you go, but they do determine where you end up. They help you slow down when everything else says speed up. They help you think before you say. There are no shortcuts to real success. Guidelines help to navigate you from where you are to where you want to be. Boundaries don't limit you.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour Power this morning. Our guest for today is Miss Renee Kielhofer. Her title for this morning is Lemonade.
And we were talking before the break about what love looks like. Yes. And it's a continually laying down of our lives for those around us. And that means welcoming the interruptions and the inconvenient, knowing that it's an opportunity to love. Love is often in the attitude. Do you do it grumbling, or can you cast everything else aside, even for a moment, to try to think about what that other person may be feeling in this moment? What's their hurt? What's their pain? That's really the key difference. Are you able to allow yourself the moment needed to try to stand in their shoes so that you can truly show love? You know, we can no longer work the programs and check the boxes. We kind of check the boxes of generosity even, or we say the mechanical prayer because we really know that Jesus is their answer, but on the inside, you really wish they'd just talk to them themselves and leave you out of it. You know, have you ever been there? I mean, I'm just being honest. We do that. And we hear messages on how we need to feed the poor. So we fix a meal or we volunteer to deliver Meals on Wheels and then we pat ourselves on the back because we checked that box. We fed the poor. And we have to be able to step out of our comfort zone and really do it because we love God and we are grateful for what He has done in our lives. We're grateful for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And everything in our world really must revolve around that one important, non-negotiable fact that God loves me. That must govern our thinking. You know, we can't give up because it looks difficult or even impossible, just like we prayed a while ago, because God is in the business of taking the impossible and making it possible, making it reality. And when Satan hands us lemons, let's take that opportunity to show the world lemonade. Don't be sour. Continuing in 1 Peter chapter 4 with verse 12, it says, "Friends, when life gets really difficult, don't jump to the conclusion that God isn't on the job. Instead, be glad that you are in the very thick of what Christ experienced. This is a spiritual refining process, and glory is just around the corner." Because the beauty of it is, as God works through you to love other people, he's also working in you to develop more and more of his character in you so that you can love more and more people. So just don't give up. God's way doesn't always make sense. In fact, most of the time, it won't make sense if we're just being honest. So we need the pause. We need to take the pause every day, be grateful for what God's done in our lives, and listen and reflect and look forward. Sometimes we need to take that moment and really think about what God's done. You know, we hear a lot in the Old Testament, especially about the staff. The patriarch of the family always had, you know, the staff leading the way. And in their tradition, the patriarch would carve into that staff like significant things. I think of it maybe like the way our grandmas and great-grandmas used to record stuff in the Bible. It was kind of like that. Like in that staff, it might say, God parted the Red Sea today. God fed us with manna, or God gave us a child, or all these testimonies of what God had done are carved into that staff. So I like to remind myself sometimes, Renee, stop and read your staff. Read your staff. Because if you read your staff and you think about what God has already done, it will excite you for what he's going to do next, because he's the same yesterday, today, forever. He's no respecter of persons. What he's done for me, he's going to do for you and you and you and you. Whatever you need, you can bank on it. So read your staff. It will encourage you and know that God is in control. You'll never, ever, I don't know if you remember this or not, Monica, but you told me this one time, and it made such an impression on me. But we need to allow our hearts to be filled with gratitude, because he loves everybody around you just like he loves me. And you will never shake the hand of someone or look in someone's eyes that God does not love. You told me that one time, and it's so powerful. You're never going to shake someone's hand or look in someone's eyes that Jesus did not die for. You know what? That makes them important in my life, because my Jesus died for them. And the world needs to know. The world's in a horrible way right now, but we have the answer. We know the truth. So we have to lay down our lives for the people around us, no matter what they look like, no matter how they dress, no matter how they smell, no matter how crappy their attitude might be, show them something different than what the world is showing them. The world's offering division and confusion, but God is offering unity and clarity that comes in the form of love. Because when we run to him and we're safe in his arms, he takes care of everything else. Everything else. We can be at peace. And people are searching for peace. And peace can only come through salvation, through the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. We must show the world God works through people. We are here. We're here alive right now for such a time as this. Show them something different. Satan won't like it, but don't be stopped. When life gives you lemons, show the world lemonade. 1 Peter 4, verses 14 and 16 says, if you're abused because of Christ, count yourself fortunate. It's the Spirit of God and his glory in you that brought you to the notice of others. If they're on you because you broke the law or disturbed the peace, that's different. That's a different matter. But if it's because you are a Christian, don't give it a second thought. Be proud of the distinguished status reflected in that name. And we need to understand that we have a real enemy. And Satan is going to use people around us to come against everything that you want to do for the kingdom, because he knows the promise in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. So his plan, Satan's plan, is to stop that flow, stop the flow of what God's wanting to do in you and through you. So don't give him a foothold. He's going to try to convince you that God doesn't really love you, that you might make it to heaven, but you're not really good enough for God to use in this life. That is a lie from the pits of hell. Don't buy into it, and don't allow the people around you to buy into it either. Don't get discouraged. Don't become offended. Wake up every day with a grateful heart and on a mission to find new ways to love people. You know, there are needs all around us every day. Just pay attention. Have that quick conversation and hear what people are saying. Oftentimes, you will hear what their need is, or you will see from their countenance that there is a need, even though that's not what's coming out of their mouth. So pay attention. And if the need is too big for you, let your church know. Let me know. Because you know what? We as a body of believers, we need to be reaching the lost through actions, not just words. And maybe we can come together and assemble a serve team that can mow that lawn for that elderly person or that single mom that doesn't have a lawnmower and has no money to buy one with and can't afford to pay somebody to do it. Maybe we can do that small repair or find a creative way to make that person's life better. Together, we can do more. And it doesn't matter if you don't go to the church I go to. Look me up on Facebook. Call me anyway. If I can't assemble people in my church, I'll be knocking on doors of other churches saying, can you join us? Let's get this done. These people are desperate for the love of Christ. And we can do it together. It's time for us to rise up and be the church. I believe there are so many things that we can be doing that we're not doing just because. Because maybe we're waiting on someone to tell us what to do. So just do it. Here's your sign. Just do it. You know, the reality is that some people are hurting so badly that they can't even hear the good news that God loves them. They must experience it. And the best way is to meet that practical need in their lives, in addition to telling them God loves them. Because once you can quiet the pain, they can hear the voice. You know, love is the single motivating factor to all that God has done in our lives. His love for us and all that he wants to do, all that he's gonna be doing going forward. We are his expression of love to a lost and dying world. And yes, loving people will cost you something. Laying down your life, that's not cheap. That's your life we're talking about. It's going to cost you something. Time, money, effort, maybe even possessions. It's going to cost you something. But God sees you every step of the way. And seek ye first the kingdom of God. All these things will be added unto you. He will reward you accordingly, because good intentions aren't enough. Action is required and grumbling's not allowed. Going on 1 Peter 4:17-19, and we'll wrap up this chapter. It says, it's judgment time for God's own family. We're first in line. If it starts with us, think what it'll be like for those who refuse God's message. If good people barely make it, what's in store for the bad? So, if you find life difficult because you're doing what God said, take it in stride. Trust him. He knows what he's doing, and he'll keep on doing it. He knows what he's doing. He's going to keep on doing it. We can trust him. We can do what he's called us to do. He's equipped us, and he's given us each other to help make the vision possible. We're supposed to be the body of Christ. It's not all on Renee. It's not all on Teresa. It's not all on Monica. It's not all on my pastor. It's the body of Christ reaching out to a lost and dying world to show them how much God loves just them as an individual. My hope this morning is that this message stirs something inside us that will allow the Holy Spirit to just take us to a whole new level. You know, I dare you to ask God to show you what area in your life needs to be tweaked so that you can better serve the kingdom. You know, that's a scary thought if we're being honest, because most of us have worked to be where we're at in life. Most of us have goals where we want to be 2 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. And there's nothing wrong with that as long as you're not so attached to those goals that they interfere with your walk with the Lord. Because God's will must always come first. And if you sacrifice those things for the will of God to lay down your life, those things will be added back to you. It does not go unnoticed by God. He knows what he's doing, and he's going to keep on doing it. So it will cost you something. And for some people, it'll cost more than others, because there are people out there who have lots of money and lots of time. I don't know them, but they're out there. I've heard about them. You know, so they can meet this need without it really disrupting their life, because they can take the time to invest in this person, or they can take the money to invest in this person, or they can buy them what they need, but it doesn't really disrupt their life. But for most of us, it's going to be a trade-off. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to buy this thing for me, because I need to take this money to meet this need for this person. Or I am not going to take the time to go do XYZ today because this person needs help in their life. So I'm going to give them that time today. For most of us, that's the way that's going to play out. It's going to cost something. It's a challenge. 1 Peter chapter 4, it's a challenge. And that the whole chapter is calling us to rise up. And it's time for the church to be the church. And it's going to require more than just agreeing with the motto or the creed. You know, let's make a real commitment to demonstrate the love of Christ to those around us. Starts with a grateful heart for what God has done and an understanding that God's love, his true and everlasting love, is for every person you see. So look around. Pay attention. You know, in this world we live in, that can mean anything from feeding the hungry to taking in a stranger and everything in between. My point is, you know, I'm not saying throw caution to the wind, but listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit and how he may want to use you in a person's life. Because what can happen when we love people? We earn credibility in their lives that gives us the opportunity to speak truth into their lives. And our peace can quiet Satan's lines long enough for them to hear the bondage-breaking, heart-healing, life-changing message of Jesus Christ that they are so desperate for. Ask yourself the question, how much do I really love God? Is he, not the latest spiritual checklist, but him, is he my first focus? Am I offering lemonade to the world, or am I just handing them more lemons? Mm. What am I doing? And I hope you'll join with me and make this prayer your prayer. Make it your own. Precious Heavenly Father, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Don't leave me in a compromised state when it comes to your kingdom. I want to be all in. Remind me continually of what you've done for me. Don't allow me to take it for granted. Don't allow me to take my salvation for granted or the blessings in my life. Don't allow me to be at best an ungrateful Christian and at worst a selfish one. Call me out Don't let me stay in this state. Make me what you want me to be. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and power so I can do what you've called me to do as your child, a child of God. Help me to see the needs around me and help my heart to be tender and moved by those needs and the lost state of the world around me. I know the answer is you. Show me how to share that. Thank you that we are not alone, that you are always with us, even when we fail, and that you have given us each other so that together we can do more and you can be magnified. You've promised in your word that if you are lifted up, you will draw all men unto you, and that's what we want, Father. We want for you to be lifted up so that lost people will come to you. Show us how, and help us to be grateful and determined to reach our world for you, that you may be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. I'm going to marinate in this today. I'm going to watch this again when I get home.
Me too. And hopefully we keep our eyes open and look for what we can do.
You know, Nate, I work another job. And I had doubts that the Lord sent me there, that the Lord placed me at that place.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was listening to outside influence, people that I really admire and look up to, mentors,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so I quit for a little bit because some stuff was going on. And the Lord humbled me and said, I want you to go back. I did put you there because I have people that need to be loved.
Mm.
And no one else will go do that there. That's why I put you there.
That's it.
And so I went back and I've been doing it. Been working there. And this gentleman came in a couple weeks ago or so. And I have scriptural bracelets. I have a basket,
mm-hmm.
like a bread basket.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord prompted me to take this basket, fill it with bracelets, and have a sign. This is a free reminder.
Oh, what a good deal.
That God loves you.
I love it.
Jesus loves you. And we love you.
I love it. I love it.
And there's these silicone bracelets, mm-hmm. friendship bracelets, to remind people that they always have a friend in Jesus, mm-hmm. no matter what, and no matter where they're at in life.
That's it. That's it.
And every time I fill that basket with the sweet reminders, they go so quickly. But this man came in recently, and he looked at the basket, and I'm like, you're welcome to have some. He's like, I don't believe in that stuff anymore.
Anymore. That's heartbreaking.
And I just stopped for a minute and I just looked at him. I said, I'm so sorry to hear that. That really hurts my heart to hear you say that. But I can tell you today that it is very real. Jesus is very real. And I know because I've seen him, and it kind of took him back.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked for my number. And so I gave him my phone number. And a couple days went by, and he reached out. And he said, I want to hear more.
Wow.
Wow. About your experience. I want to hear more.
I love it.
Can we meet? And I said, yeah, absolutely we can meet. And so we met and we talked. And I told him my testimony of whenever I was 12 years old and I physically seen Jesus. My physical body died. It went black for a split second. Then I heard my name. And my spiritual eyes opened when my name was called.
Wow.
I went into great detail with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And that conversation ended. He was kind of, I don't know, taken back.
Probably marinating in it, like you said.
And so we met again. He came to the shop, and we sat outside. There's a little table and chairs. We sit out there, and we was talking.
Mm-hmm.
And come to find out, this guy used to be a Sunday school teacher.
Oh.
And in his 50s, he's around 64 mm-hmm. now. But in his 50s, he decided he was going back to school. And he went back to and got a psychology degree.
Oh.
So he went from awake to woke.
Mm.
And we sat out there. And he began to try to convince me that what I experienced, oh, that was just, he brought up his psychology
mm-hmm.
degree. His that mindset,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he began to tell me how this was just a trauma response.
Oh, don't you love how Satan tries to pervert everything God does?
Yeah, girl. So then he went so far as to try to convince me that it didn't happen, that it was just my way of dealing with what was happening to me. And then he went a step further. Because I was just silent and was like, Lord, can I throat punch this kid, this man? Can I?
Can I show him your love the hard way?
Can I throat punch him? Because, you know, I'm not going to let the enemy steal that from me again.
That's right. That's right.
I know that I know mm-hmm. what happened.
That's it.
And I'm not letting nobody and nothing talk me out of that again.
That's it. That's it. Don't do it.
And he began to try to convince me that there was no hell. That the Catholics put that in there, this and that and the other. And I mean, he went so far as to pull up his... I love you, Lord. He pulled out his phone and was like Googling. And so Monica got Monica. Still me, y'all.
Yeah.
I'm like, I looked at him, I said, I got to go get my phone. Hang on a second. So me got up kind of heated, wanting to throat punch a guy.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Went to go get my phone, and I was going to get my phone to Google to show him. No, 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 no. And the Lord said, eh.
Yeah, we can understand how Peter felt in the garden, can't we?
And I'm like, eh. But Lord, eh. Lord, eh. The third aunt got me down. Okay, Lord. What do you want me to do, Lord? He said, nothing. Sit there and listen. And I'm like, but Lord. But Lord. That's
yeah.
This guy's trying to talk, you know. And he was like, I know what he's doing. But I also know you just planted some seeds.
Yeah. And it's making him uncomfortable.
So let me water them seeds. You've done what I need you to do. Now, shh. Don't need you to show him nothing. Let me.
That's good.
And I was like, yes, Lord, it's your Holy Spirit that makes corrections. It is your Holy Spirit. It is you that changes heart, not Monica.
That's right.
Not Monica. He's made his mind up here.
That's a good word.
Here, Lord. I can't change his mind. And I can't change his heart. But I know you can.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've changed me. And you've renewed my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, that's exactly what I need you to do. I need you to stand in the gap
mm-hmm.
for this man while I move and do what I need to do.
That's good, because it's so easy to fall in that temptation to argue with people.
Yeah.
And that's what Satan wants. Mm-hmm. That gets us nowhere. And I'm guilty of that too. I mean, of, you know, saying more than I need to say. And I'm that one that probably would end every conversation with, well, you know, if you're right and I'm wrong, no sweat. But if I'm right and you're wrong, you're going to hell, dude.
Yeah. You know? There was a whole lot that Monica wanted to say, but the Holy Spirit was like, eh. Yeah,
and that's not exactly showing the love of God, you know.
You know, it's serious when the Lord, you know.
But you know what is so cool is that you were listening to hear the you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes for me, it's like later when God says, you know, I really wish you would have not said that. And I'm like, why didn't you tell me? And he said, because you wouldn't shut up. You know, I tried, but you wouldn't shut up. And so it's so cool that you were listening. And again, the pause. Take the pause. God, how do you want me to show love in this situation? How do you want me to show you in this situation? And see, Satan makes us feel like we've been defeated because we didn't have the comeback to end all. But have you ever watched a debate? No one ever wins. Mm-hmm. Everybody just throws their opinion out there, and there's never anyone in the debate that says, you know, you're right. I'm going to stop thinking the way I think. Yeah. You know, it's their life experience that will get their attention to change their thought process. And God knows what needs to happen on those realms. And just like you said, the seed's been planted. His soil's been disturbed. And so as he goes through life, just like Peter, as he faces hardships, that'll spring up a little bit, and he'll be like, well, you know, I used to teach in Sunday school XYZ. Maybe there is something to that. Mm-hmm. You know, and God will bring it all to fruition if we can just keep our mouths closed long enough, keep ourselves in check, and allow God to be the one to move. And I'm so guilty of not doing that. And so I admire that you were able to do that.
It was so hard. I'm not going to lie. It was hard. Cause my first Monica's instinct was to throat punch this guy, you know? And that conversation ended. He left. I got home, and it was like, we're just going to have to agree to disagree, man.
Mm-hmm.
And that was his words. And we left. Okay. I can do that. I can agree to disagree and leave it where it lays, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But not even 30 minutes after he left, he starts messaging me, texting me. And I'm like, so the Lord, Holy Spirit said, okay. And I'm like, what do I say, Lord? He said, ask him, why is he continuing this conversation?
Yeah, if we agree to disagree.
And I'm like, okay, I don't know why you're continuing this conversation. You've made your mind up. I have my mind made up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not moving.
Right. My heart's set.
I am not moving. So I don't know what the point to continue is since you've already made your mind up. Mm-hmm. And the next thing I know, I'm blocked on Facebook and everything.
Oh, well. And you have to ask yourself, I mean, we know that it's satanic and demonic, but in the natural, you look around and you have to ask yourself, what's your motivation for wanting to make me stop trusting God? You know, what my motivation for wanting you to trust God is that I love you and I care about you and I want your life to be better. Yes. And I've experienced something so awesome, I want to share it with you. But what's your motivation? What's your motivation for wanting to destroy that in a person's life?
Mm-hmm. And while you were teaching, sharing the word, this is what the Lord said to me. He said, it says, God can and will only handle what we are willing to put in his hands.
Mm, it's a good word.
Give it all to God. put it all in his hands.
That's a good word.
And that's where I had to come to with this person. Lord, here.
And sometimes it's as simple as the pause. Shut my mouth, pause, and I can hear the word. You know, I heard a preacher one time say that they believed when the Pharisees approached Jesus about, I don't remember what he did, but he wrote in the sand, you know, that they believed while he was writing in the sand that he was pausing to hear what God wanted him to say back to them about let him without sin cast the first stone. And so so even Jesus took advantage of the pause, you know. So, and for some weird reason, we feel like there can never be a pause in the conversation. Mm-hmm. Like we can't stop and think about the words that are about to trickle out of our mouths or the impact they might have. I don't know where that comes from, but for some weird reason, when you're talking to somebody, if nobody's saying anything, it all of a sudden becomes awkward and you feel like somebody needs to say something and then somebody might say something stupid.
I just appreciate you so much.
I appreciate you too. And thank you for having me. I don't take the opportunity for granted. And I just love to come and talk about the word. I love to sit with you guys. And my prayer is that God will always have the person who needs to hear it tuned in, and it'll be a word for their heart, you know. So
you are a real blessing to us here. Thank you.
Thank you.
You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. And you already know I'm going to say it again. This is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and from the gorgeous Sister Renee Kielhofer. Y'all have a blessed day. Oh, wait a minute. I just check. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Would you be so kind and share with the people about the location, the church?
Oh, yes.
The church you attend, location, and anything else that you would like to share.
Yes. It's Grandview Church on the corner of Country Club and Pioneer, right across the street from the high school. And we have service at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. We have some small groups kind of scattered throughout the week that we can tell you about. And then on Wednesday night, we have prayer meeting at 6:30. And we would love to have you come check us out. We'd love to get to know you and just serve God together. And if you have needs, come let us know. We'll do what we can. And we'll rally people if we need to, because we are grateful for what God's done for us.
Amen. From all of us here in the studio, y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time.
My pastor's probably gone.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.